Pastor Ray Bentley introduces today's study in Deuteronomy chapter 8.
And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and he allowed you to starve. Oh, well, what's this all about?
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. When you first read certain scriptures, it's as if a giant question mark appears in a thought bubble above your head. You reread it again. Sometimes it can be a little puzzling. Well, today Pastor Ray tackles such a question and shows how it's actually a very important scriptural principle.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. So we're going to, we're dropping in life lessons as we go through this study. So here's the first life lesson, and then we'll read the scriptures that go along with it. Jesus, the Messiah, becomes our because. In fact, that's the title of the message. You go, well, that's a strange title of the message. Well, it comes actually out of our text. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12 says this. Then it shall come to pass because, you can underline that because, it's very important, because you listen to all these judgments, and that word judgments means all my commands, all my words that are going to be for your blessing, and keep and do them, because you listen, keep and do what I tell you, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land and your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. Because you listen to your heavenly Father, and you do what he tells you as his children because he loves you, he is giving you the words and the commands of how to live a fruitful life, a multiplied life, a successful life. Verse 14, you shall be blessed above all peoples. So he's saying, I'm going to lift you up. You're going to be so blessed, you're going to create jealousy from all the other nations, which was the idea originally. God so wanted to bless Israel that other nations go, wow, how come they're so blessed? And be provoked to jealousy. So you shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among even your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Not only is everything going to be blessed, fruitful, prosperous, you're going to be healthy to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And will afflict you with none of these terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. So here God is, it's like God said to Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. The blessing of God came upon the children of Israel. So let's take that lesson for them and let's lay an application upon us. Because you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and because of his perfect life, not our perfect life, because of his righteousness, because of his obedience, because of his faithfulness to his Father in heaven, because of his sacrificial death and resurrection, and because you heard the good news and received it personally, and the call of repentance and to follow and walk with the Lord, therefore we are able to enjoy the love and the blessings and the favor of our Father in heaven and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and all of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? All of these things come to us because of what Jesus the Messiah has done for us. Okay, let's go to the next life lesson. God, Heavenly Father, teaches us that we do not live by bread alone, but by his word. Now, when we look here, go with me to chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. As we look at this verse, notice this one in particular, because this is the verse in Deuteronomy that Jesus himself quoted. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply." The idea is I'm giving you the words of life, the paths of abundance, the pathways of peace and fruitfulness, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Read desert, 2.1 million people, to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The miracle of the manna was given in order to remind us that God is our source of life. The material world came into existence from the utterance of God's mouth. So now you have, the great miracle, the Exodus, the Red Sea is parted, they're at the wilderness, but God sustained them through 40 years in the desert, and every morning from heaven, God spoke his word, and his word became living bread there for them, manna. There was just enough bread, these little wafers that they could pick up. It was just enough to fill your stomach, satisfy your hunger, and give you strength for one day. And then the next morning, God would speak from heaven, and again, that bread would come. Now, what's interesting is that what God was trying to show us is that we have, all of us have actually two creators. Did you know that? God is our first creator, but did you know you have a second creator or creators? And those are your mom and dad, your parents. They are the ones that brought you into this world. Though God is the one who originally made you, formed you, knew you, wrote it in his book, as Psalm 139 says. God uses us honoring our earthly parents to learn and appreciate that we really have heavenly parents as well. So there's a scripture that Jesus gives to us. It's Matthew 6:33. Let's read this scripture out loud together. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What's interesting is that in the New Testament, you remember Jesus on several occasions multiplied fish and bread. At one time, it says there were 5,000 men. They didn't even count women or children. So we can imagine a crowd of 15,000 to 20,000. There was one boy who had a few loaves and fish. Jesus said, "Take what you have, give it to me." And he blessed it, and he broke the bread. He passed it out, and miraculously, those few loaves and fish fed 15,000 to 20,000 people. Well, this got a big, big discussion, because you know what would have dawned upon Jewish minds? Here's a guy miraculously providing bread in a wilderness area just like Moses did. Wow, Jesus is like Moses, who gave us bread from heaven. But when Jesus heard them saying that, he spoke and he corrected them. And he said, no, you don't have that right. Now, I want you to read with me what Jesus actually said after the miracle of the multiplying of the bread from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 32 through 35 in your notes. Let's read this out loud. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" It's funny how we can get things in our head from the stories we rehearse from Sunday school, but they're off just a little bit. Moses fed us manna in the wilderness. Jesus says, not really. Moses didn't feed anybody. Moses couldn't make bread, bake bread, or bring bread enough for 2 million people. He says God did. The Father. Where did it come from? It came from the Father. He spoke that bread into existence morning by morning, from old to young. And Jesus is saying, just as that bread miraculously came from the mouth of the Father morning by morning, so I have come. I am the living bread who just spoke, broke, blessed, multiplied miraculously bread, but I am the bread of life. I will not only satisfy your spiritual or your physical hunger and your physical thirst, but I will satisfy you in your soul and in your spirit, everything you have and everything you need. So that's a beautiful thing to know. Now, the next life lesson, I've already touched on this, but you can help fill it in. Why we must learn to appreciate our creators. Jesus wanted them to know, if you want to honor the Father, then you would honor me because I am sent from the Father in heaven and I am now here as living bread for all who will believe and trust in me. So Moses is encouraging them, and here Moses sets up the lesson. And here's what he said. Look with me in verses 2 and 3 very carefully. Here's the big lesson Moses passed on. And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, and he allowed you to starve and fed you with manna, which you did not know. All of a sudden, if you're one of the young generation, you're standing there, okay, my parents died because they didn't have faith. Now we're going to go into the land of the giants. God's going to go with us. And you're looking for inspiration, and you're thinking of all the stories you've heard the last 40 years, all the miracles God did, and this is the biggest one. And listen to what Moses actually says. He says, look, you guys, you became hungry, and he actually tested you, and then he afflicted you, and then he kind of starved you a little bit, and then he gave you bread. How inspired would you be? Now, let me just say this. I know that all of you, all of us, have family, and we have friends that say, you know, that's why I'm kind of uncomfortable with that Old Testament God. You know, the Hebrew God. I love Jesus, love the New Testament, miracles, he's forgiving everybody in heaven, and that's all good and wonderful. But I'm uncomfortable, and here's another classic story. And there are many skeptics, you know, that would say, forget about it. I don't get that God. He's a mean guy. He does weird. Look, he starved them so he could prove that he could make a miracle of bread. Well, what's this all about? All human beings, all 7-8 billion of us, have a fatal flaw. And this fatal flaw is so deeply intrinsic in us, it makes us misunderstand God and his actions sometimes, or God, even as the Father, as it were in the Old Testament, and his motivations. What I want to do is expose this fatal flaw in a very simple, practical way, that once you see it, I think you'll get it, you'll understand it, and give you a new appreciation of why, of all the stories that happened in the wilderness, Moses chose this story. There's a reason he chose this story, and the lesson is super important. Now, I need to tell a story about, I have a son and a daughter, Daniel and Annie, and I'm going to tell a story that is about my son Daniel. Now, this is kind of an amalgamation of his whole teenage growing up years. My son Daniel, he went through a phase when he was a teenager, and Annie can attest to this, where he grunted. It's like, Daniel, what do you want? Vicky and I, at that time when they're teenagers and growing through, we kept the fridge stocked with food and the pantry stocked. Now, let's just say that I had a steak in the stocked fridge that I had, a thick one that you pay a little bit extra money for it, and then I'm going to have a special dinner, at night with my wife, Vicky. And so then, as the day goes on, my son comes to the fridge, he opens it up, and he goes, oh, steak. He pulls the steak out that I had bought, for my wife in a special dinner, and he puts it in the pan, and then he eats it, and it's gone, all right? That leaves us in a very difficult predicament. So I want to go on to this next life lesson that I'm trying to bring home here. Our common human fatal flaw, when you boil it all down to, and this is what I believe Moses was addressing in Deuteronomy 8, that Jesus quoted from in the New Testament, is this: mindlessly taking things for granted. So let's imagine in this story and scenario that I get a text from my son during the day, which says this: "Hi, Dad, thanks for keeping my favorite foods around. You are the best. I love you so much. By the way, can I grab that steak?" Smiley face, and there's a picture of the steak. Here's what's interesting. If I had walked up to Daniel and said, "Daniel, how did you get that steak?" I can see him saying, "I opened the fridge." Yeah, I know, but how did you think about it? How did you get that steak?
What do you mean?
There are two things at that moment he forgets. Number one, he forgets steaks don't grow on trees. Someone actually put the steak there. And number two, that someone is me. Dad. In other words, he takes for granted that his food comes from his father. Now look, I love my son. I love my daughter. I want him to have whatever he wants, you know, but I also want him to know or learn at some point that all that food that is there in the pantry and in the fridge, there's a labor of love that went into bringing it there. And when he takes that for granted, when he takes me for granted, it hurts. It hurts our relationship. And it's an important lesson somehow that I need to learn how to pass on. So what do I do? How do I teach my son? How do I educate him to appreciate those things? Well, we come up with a plan. We stop restocking the fridge. Slowly the food gets eaten and is gone. And then for several days, I leave it until there's only celery and beets. Suddenly, Daniel learns how to speak. "Where's the food?" He gets annoyed. "I'm starving." So, I go, "You're right, we're out of food. You know what? Would you be willing to go to the store with me and stock up and I'll let you pick some?" "Yeah." So all of a sudden, me and Daniel get in the car, we drive the ball cap, and he's grunting, talking a little bit. We get all these bags of groceries, and then as we get out of the car, I go, "Hey, don't just help me bring them in, but would you help me stock the fridge and the pantry? That way you'll know, and I'll know where all our food..." "Yeah, it's a great..." So then he stocks it, right, with me. And all of a sudden, as we're going through this process, it's kind of fun, it starts sinking into him. Ah, there are actions, there are choices, there is work that happens to stock the fridge and to fill the pantry. How does he learn? I want to suggest to you, it was the lack before the gain that brought a new appreciation for what was finally coming along. So a week goes by, fridge keeps stocked, pantry still stocked. During the day, you get another text: "Dad, thanks for picking up the steak. You the best. I'm going to make dinner tonight. See you soon." Wow. This time, instead of just going in, taking what he wants, he remembers, "Wow, we went to the store together, we spent time with my dad, and he picked out steak again. Hey, maybe I could actually cook dinner, and we could sit down and have a meal together." Bingo. Now, it's not just that he had the lesson to not take the food, or more importantly, me for granted, but out of it, he had the idea to make a meal that we would sit down and talk and hang out as father and son. Now, can you take that analogy and bring it to God? All right? Because here's what God is saying. And this is what Moses wanted to tell these children of Israel that are crossing the Jordan River. He goes, "Do you guys realize where you're going? You are going to inherit a land so blessed Every time you put a, because the ground is blessed by God, every time you put a seed in it, it's going to grow. And whatever grows is going to be fruitful. And what is fruitful is going to be eaten by the cattle and all the animals. And they're going to be healthy and multiply, and you're going to be so rich and so prosperous in the blessed land. It's going to be like as a nation, your Father in heaven has stocked your fridge for the rest of your lives. But the danger could be that you get there and you have a whole nation so blessed that it provokes jealousy of all the nations around you. And you take the food for granted. You take the blessing for granted. And then what hurts the most is you take the one who gave it to you from the beginning. You take your Father in heaven for granted. So in closing, look with me in verse 13. Because this is what Moses goes on to lay out, and he does it very beautifully and very simply. In verse 13, he says, "And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land." See, that's the danger. "Who brought you out of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there's no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers didn't know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained this wealth.' And the Lord, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." That's what Moses was trying to pass on. A very needy, powerful, this was maybe the most important lesson to pass on to a new generation, that we're going into the stocked fridge, as it were, of a land blessed by God. Don't forget where it came from. Don't forget who gave it to you. And don't disrespect or hurt the very one who wants to share and enjoy it with you. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with an important lesson today from our studies in Deuteronomy here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for the message called Because. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Just mention that one-word title, Because. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.